We're going to begin this morning, and I get the privilege to call up Mr. Pace Mone up here. Pace is coming this morning to be baptized. And they got that good and warm for you this morning.
All right, come around here, sir. There you go. Sit down right there. There you go. Remember how I told you to hold those arms?
Let me tell you guys a little bit about Pace. Pace writes in his testimony, "My name is Pace Mone. I'm 6 years old, and I live in Hamilton. I came to GBF when I was just 1 year old." Pace, you were a baby over here in this little nursery. "I learned about Jesus from my mom, dad, sister, and brothers." Pace has three older siblings. "My dad and I were going to a job when he was talking to me about accepting Jesus. We stopped and prayed to God, and now I am a Christian. I try to obey what God asks me to do in the Bible. Please pray that I will always trust God. My favorite verse is Psalms 18:39. You have clothed me with strength for the battle." And Pace, God will never leave you for any battle that you will face.
Okay. All right, put your hands together for me. Pace, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's my privilege, my little brother in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Let Ryan help you out.
Amen. For all of our children that are baptized, the kids always sign their baptism certificates, and so he will be receiving his certificate here in a little bit. And we present him also with the Kids Guide to the Armor of God, and so he will go home with those things today. So with that, church family, we will worship.
David came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He funds me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he's built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved the air I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He loved the air I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Good morning, Grace Bible Fellowship. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We have a lot of stuff going on this morning, an exciting service, and so I want to welcome you here today. If you're a guest with us today, there's a place in your bulletin that actually says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." If you'll take a moment and fill that out, then at the end of the service, you can place it in the little wood offering box by the double doors that you came in this morning, and that lets us know who was here worshiping with us today. Well, now I want to call up Glenn Mildren. Glenn, where you at? There he is. Glenn's on our building team. He's going to give you a building update real quick. And by the way, while he's making his way up here, over there you can see pictures of how it all began. And so that's pretty cool after church. If you want to walk over there to that little welcome table, you can look at pictures of all kinds of things of how we got started. All right, sir.
Sorry, I won't keep y'all long. I am on the finance side of the building team, and the building is currently in internal review of design phase and budget with ML Gray. That's our GC who's in charge of the project. And within the next few weeks, we should have additional information that they will provide us. And once the design is agreed to, a competitive bid process will begin. That will take several weeks, if not months. But the good thing is market conditions indicate that prices have decreased since we began this project. And once the bid process concludes, final design and budget can be prepared for approval of the building team, and then we can go forward on this thing. And if there are any questions, please go to the church website, gbfheiko.com. There's a link right below, what'd you say, the service countdown timer?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so go there and ask any questions, and we'll get back to you. And then this with a little event that happened to Diane and I. After Christmas, we're on a shuttle ski bus in Beaver Creek, Colorado. Hop on the bus. There's a gentleman with two kids on there, and he goes, "First thing you do, where are y'all from?" Texas. "We're about Dallas." "And do you know?" And ended up, we knew quite a lot of people in common. And I said, "Well, I'm Glenn Mildren." He goes, "Well, I'm Tyler Cooper. I work for the Cooper Clinic." And his dad was Kenneth Cooper, who started the whole healthy exercise rage way back when. But we were talking a little more, and he goes, "Then it got to be, where do you go to church?" I said, "Well, we go to GBF in Heiko." And he goes, "I know that church. I just spoke to their pastor. He called me to get a recommendation on ML Gray." And he goes, "ML Gray does everything for Cooper Clinic." And so we thought, how the Lord's got to be behind this thing, because how in the world, 1,000 miles away, we end up talking about GBF Heiko. So I just want to end that on a positive note. We're looking forward. Who knows? I'm stepping off my notes, and maybe next year at this time we might be in the new facility.
Amen.
All right,
amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Glenn. Tyler Cooper and I hit it off. And ended up talking for a long time on the phone when I called him one day. And that young man really walks with the Lord. And again, if you know anything about Cooper Clinics, if you're from the Metroplex, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And anyway, ML Gray evidently does all their stuff for them, all their renovations, all their buildings, everything for them. So it's just a neat time to get to know him over the phone. I want us to do something before we continue. We've got some testimonies today. Since today is our 14th anniversary, Grace Bible Fellowship's 14th anniversary, technically We started on Valentine's Day in 2010, February 14th. And so we're celebrating that today, and we've got testimonies for you. We've got child dedications coming up here in a few minutes, different things like that. I'm going to preach a mini sermon, right? A mini sermon. It really is. It's going to be a mini sermon. And 50, 60 minutes, you know what I mean? Y'all will be out of here. That's why my two boys, Jake and Ryan, used to say, "Dad, man, you preach 50 minutes." I was like, "There's no way. You guys are just jacking with me. I preach 30 minutes max." But anyway, we're going to have a great time today. But what I want us to do this morning before we continue on in this service is what we always do. We come in here with a lot of things going on in our minds, right? Some of us are just super busy. Some of us, we all go through this, right? Some of us are just dealing with difficult things. I've got a 5-year-old cousin with a brain tumor, and it's just brutal what our family is dealing with, especially as you can imagine her parents. And so sometimes we come in here and we got other things going on in our minds, and if we're not careful, we can sit out there for 1 hour and think about those things and worry about those things and fret about those things, right? So what I'm going to invite you to do is just bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment, if you will, and just get in your inner room in here, in your heart, just you and the Lord. Forget about everybody that's around you. Make this just about you and God for a few minutes. And then just pray a prayer along with me. You don't have to pray it out loud, just in your heart, somewhat like this. Lord, today I want this service to be about you. I'm not coming here to see if everything's done the way I think it needs to be done. I'm coming here to worship you today. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to just take over my mind and my heart and open my mind and my heart to these testimonies, to what you do during this child dedication. Lord, help me not to just sing words to songs today, but help me to sing every word and lift it up as a praise offering to you today. And Lord, I got to admit, sometimes I come in here and I'm just seeing how you're going to bless me, but today, help me to be a blessing to you. Way more than I wait to see how you're going to bless me, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help me to love you, to honor you, and for this 1 hour, let you be God while I let everything else go, while I set everything else at your feet. For the next hour, I'm going to let you be God, and I'm going to worship you, and my prayer is that my worship brings honor and glory to you. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the amazing privilege that we have of being part of your kingdom, being able to be part of what you're doing in this world. We thank you and we praise you for that today, and we pray that you're blessed by this service and that your kingdom is furthered. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Andrea, if you'll come up here and lead us in our child dedication, please, ma'am.
Hello. Okay. First of all, my name is Andrea. It is not Andrea. So when Chris says different names, it is Andrea, but I will answer to both. Very excited this morning. We have children and parents that are going to come before our church family today, and they are going to dedicate their children to raising them in a godly home and in a biblical way. And one of the things that's just so exciting, I will call them up here in a minute and they're going to line up in front of our stage, is I see them, these babies, these children, will be the leaders of that beautiful church on the hill one day. And so that, to me, is just incredible. So Today, we will share in these families and what they've decided to do. So my first family is going to be Brent and Bree Morrow, and they're going to bring Bridger Kate Morrow up here. And if the boys are coming with her too, that's fine. But the last time we had child dedication, Brent and Bree dedicated their four brothers, older brothers, and now we finally have Bridger Kate. And so y'all come right on down here. This is Brent and Bree Morrow, and coming with them to dedicate, and they've got two of the four. It looks like you've got Beckett and Briggs. So they're all B's. Can you imagine? They're all B's. I've asked each of the families to give a life verse that they have picked out for their child. And so, Bridger, they have chosen 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And I even left in here the verse that y'all had picked out for the boys 2 years ago. And that was, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Our second family is Tyler and Katie Crow. And they are coming today with their children. Y'all come on up. Tyler and Katie have been with us for a long time. Chris married them how many years ago? Ten years ago. So, and from that, we now have these two beautiful children. Tyler and Katie are bringing before us today Lydda James Crow. And Lydda has a big brother, Letty, there that's coming with her. There's a life verse is 2 Samuel 22:31. "God's way is perfect. The Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection." This is Lydda James Crow. Okay, next we have Chris and Christy Page. Come here, Mr. West. Chris and Christy have been coming here to GBF for a little over 2 years now, I believe. Chris is reigning, works for Texas Mutual, so if you ever need anything safety related, this is your guy. Christy stays home with West. This is West Page. He's four, isn't he, Christy? Yes, four. Their life verse this morning is Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." This is West Page. All right, our fourth family is Shane and Kelsey Browning. Shane and Kelsey Browning. Kelsey grew up here in HICO, and so we all have seen her run, probably. She was a wonderful track star, and we hear that Willa is taking over in the nursery. She runs laps in the nursery, so she gets her laps in. But this is Shane and Kelsey Browning, and they have just recently moved back here. We're excited to have them here. And they bring Willa is their baby, well, is their girl, and Barrett is their boy. And their verse that they are bringing this morning for both of their children is, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." This is Willa and Barrett Browning. And our last family this morning is Brock and Haley Demery. And they are bringing Bridger Demery. I put the two Bridgers on the ends. Brock and Haley have just recently joined our fellowship. Actually met you guys in Barbicelli's in the pizza place one night, and so we're excited to have y'all here. Brock and Haley bring before you today Bridger Demery, and their life verse for him is a Proverbs 8:32-35. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8:32-35. And this is Bridger.
See a lot of children in here today, so some of them are going to scream, some of them are going to cry. It's just all they're doing is saying amen, okay? That's all they're doing. So when you hear it, you know, amen. And so we're excited for you guys. We're excited to have you here. You're doing something really, really awesome. These families are recognizing something very, very important today. They're recognizing their children are a gift from God, amen. And they're coming today to dedicate their children back to the Lord and make a commitment to raise them according to the word of God and the ways of God, okay? In 1 Samuel 1:11, Hannah made a promise to the Lord. She said, "Lord Almighty, look at me, your servant. See my trouble and remember me. Do not forget me. If you give me a son, I promise that I will dedicate him to you for his whole life." She goes on to say in verses 27 and 28, "I asked the Lord for this child, and he gave me what I asked for, so I am dedicating him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he will belong to the Lord." Then they worshiped the Lord. These parents are coming here today to show their appreciation to God for these precious children, and then to dedicate these children back to the Lord, asking for his wisdom, for his grace, for his love, for your prayers, and for his protection, in hopes that one day all of these precious children will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. Parents, the Lord's words are plain, so please listen carefully to the Lord's instructions concerning raising your children. Because I'll ask you in a minute if you intend to make that commitment, okay? The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on their heart, your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So parents, the Bible makes it clear the number one purpose for you is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that you are to diligently teach your children to do the same thing by teaching them the word of God and the ways of God. In fact, the Bible says you're to do this in the morning. You're to find teachable moments throughout the day to do this. You're to do it when you lay down, and you're to do it again when you rise up, okay? And so by coming forward today before the Lord and his church, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your children to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." Fathers, now I'm going to ask you to enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and his church. And what I would like for you to do to demonstrate your commitment is I would ask you to either hold the child or put your hand on the child, whichever works better for you, while I read through this. Father, so that these children may live in the freedom and abundance that Christ offers them, do you vow, together with God's help and in partnership with his church, to provide them a Christian home full of God's love, peace, and grace, and to raise them in the truth of God's word and encourage them to live according to his ways and to one day put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." All right, Andrea, I believe You got the, okay, she's going to present you guys with a Bible, a bookmark, and a certificate. And you guys are receiving the beginner's Bible today, and this Bible's filled with children's Bible stories, colorful pictures and words that are simple, and it's all being given to you today to encourage you to read the Bible to your family on a regular basis. And the Word of God will encourage them and draw them closer to the Lord as they grow up. And right now you're laying a foundation of love, security, dependence, and discipline as you care for your child and teach them God's Word and teach them God's ways. And these foundational stones also will lead them to put their faith in Jesus Christ one day as their Lord and Savior. And so enjoy making the Bible alive in their little worlds as you begin teaching them the gospel, and it all begins now. The bookmark has Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7 printed on it. For you are to remember to teach your children diligently the Word of God. And so use this in the Bible as you read to them the events of Scripture. Will you now join me in a prayer of dedication? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious families and their children that you have blessed them with. We thank you for your grace that you show each of us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask for your divine wisdom and grace for these families as they make this covenant with you to bring their children up in your ways and according to your word. Give them wisdom to learn to love you and follow you in such a way that it'll be natural for their children to follow in their parents' footsteps. Bless these children and help them to understand your purpose for their lives as they grow up, and give their parents the grace to allow them to follow you all the days of their lives. And we pray all these things in the precious and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, you guys may be seated. All right, none of them escaped, so you guys did a great job.
All right, what a blessed time. All right, now we are going to take a few minutes, and we've got some testimonies that are some of the boys and girls are going to share, some of the youth are going to share, some of the adults are going to share. So right now, I'm going to have all of you come up here at one time. So Liam, Knox, Kinley, and Clara, y'all all come on up here. Many of you know that we are having our chili supper for camp. And these are my older leadership children that are over in the summit. We actually call it the launch pad. And each of them have now experienced camp. And so they have a very brief testimony that they are going to share with you all this morning. But I'm going to ask y'all to come up here. Liam's going to go first. I'll have him hang on just a second.
Good morning. My name is Liam Hiltz. I'm in the fifth grade. This is now my third year to go to camp. I remember the excitement of my first year. My favorite activity was the carnival. I love doing the jungle, which is a massive obstacle-like tower made of wood, steel, and ropes where you can climb inside and explore. I also love the crazy bouncy house race. It was like a race against time. Camp is also a place where people can become Christians. When it is worship time, we usually do songs that we all know, like Amazing Grace. Some of you adults probably don't know, but everyone in the summit knows the Fruit of the Spirit song. When worship gets more serious, it's like a double history. We learn about Christians from the past and a story from the Bible. Now, something I want to tell the new kids, don't be scared to go on the zip line. You're safe, and it's awesome.
Good morning. My name is Knox Mooney. I'm in the sixth grade. This is my fourth year to go to church camp. I remember my first year was very exciting, and the trip was over 3 hours long. Also, there were a lot of snakes. My favorite things were crafts, archery tag. Archery tag is very fun. Lastly, the wet willy slide. It's great. Out of all the fun, the most important part is learning about Jesus and coming home to tell others what you have learned at camp. Camp has helped me strengthen my walk with God. I have made me a better person. If you've never been to camp, I 100% recommend it.
Good morning. My name is Kinley Prescott, and I am in the sixth grade. This will be my second year to go to camp with Grace Bible Fellowship. Last year was my first year to go to Journey to Grace Camp at Riverbend. I was nervous at first because I had never been to that camp before, and I didn't know what to expect. Once I started making some friends, I felt more comfortable and really enjoyed camp. My favorite parts of camp were worship, free time rotations, and our Bible studies. Miss Wolf led our Bible studies, and I really enjoyed them. I became a Christian in the summer of 2018. Since then, I have learned that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and that he will stay by me no matter what. He is always there for me. I have learned how to study my Bible. My prayers have changed. I no longer just pray for the same thing. I now know I can talk with God. For anyone who has never gone to camp before, I would like to tell you that it is a great experience with God. It is not only fun, it's about getting to know God. Camp is an easy way to share Christ with your friends. Just go. You won't regret it. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Clara Coleman. I am in the fifth grade. This will be my fourth year going to children's camp. I remember from going to camp on my first year, a teacher there had told us that he was saved when he was in a fire in his house. My favorite thing about camp is every year I get to see some friends I made from the second time. I went to camp. I also enjoy the worship time. I grew in my spiritual development with God by being surrounded by other Christians. They help me follow him and trust him. We learn new verses every day. If a friend has never been to camp, I would tell them it is amazing and that they should go.
Good job. All right. Again, this is future leadership that you all are supporting through our chili supper and through the many ways that you invite us to go to camp. So I just ask all of them to pray about speaking. That takes a lot of courage. So y'all give them a hand. Thank y'all for talking. Y'all can go sit down. Y'all go sit down. All right. I know. All right, now we also have Julia O'Neill. Julia is coming this morning to give a testimony about youth camp. And also one of the things I just love seeing up here, you all saw Grace singing and William is playing the drums. Those are our youth and our teenagers. They're giving their testimony through music, and I just really appreciate that as well.
Hey, y'all. So I'm Julia O'Neill. I'm a junior here at HICO, which I know I don't look like it, but I promise I am. I've been going to 2016. My second year of church camp was actually where I decided I wanted to get baptized. Going to church camp has always been my favorite part of the summer. My friendships with people in the youth group always grow so much stronger, as well as making new friends at camp. Ever since I started attending church camps, my relationship with God keeps growing stronger and stronger. Camp has also taught me how to fellowship and talk about God with other kids and Christians that society doesn't really encourage. As you go through camp, you get to sing your heart out to amazing worship music, have lessons with your whole camp, just your youth group, and also have a quiet time for a one-on-one experience with God. When I'm at camp, every problem in the world is forgotten, and all I can really do is smile and think about God, whether that be the music we listen to or what the preacher said that day. Camp is basically a reset for me on my life, and helps me stay on the right path. It truly is just an amazing experience and feeling like no other that creates bonds and memories that I'll never forget and will cherish for the rest of my life.
Thank you. You did a great job.
Great job. I actually remember when we dedicated Julia, parent-child dedication, and look where she is now. So, all right.
All right, you guys did an amazing job. As most of you know, this chili cook-off that we have, this big contest that we have, we'll transform all this in a little bit. And all you guys can stay and eat chili with us. But there's a jar or a box somewhere over there.
It's a bear. You feed the bear.
It's a bear. Yes. You feed the bear. And if you want to help a child or one of these teenagers go to camp, you can do that by just dropping a donation in that bear. All right, I'm going to ask one more person, one young man that him and his family moved here. I'll let him tell you how long ago. I'm not really good with that kind of stuff. But Seth Branson, where are you at? Come on up here, sir.
Morning, everybody. My name is Seth Branson, and my wife is Julia Branson. She's in the nursery right now volunteering. And I have two kids, Logan, who's 9, and Meredith, who's 7. We moved here in August of 22, I believe. But yeah, Pastor Chris wrote me and asked me, you know, how has the church been a blessing to you and your family? And little did I know, he tricked me into coming up on stage. I don't know how it happened.
Sorry, man.
Oh, me. Anyhow, GBF has been a great blessing to our family. It's never easy relocating to a new place with a new job and a new church, especially when you're introverted like my wife and I are. Despite all the changes and unfamiliarity, GBF felt like home right away. Through GBF, we have plugged in and found numerous ways to serve. Our kids love Miss Andrea and all the amazing children's ministry volunteers. Both of our kids have accepted Christ and been baptized here at GBF. My personal faith has been strengthened thanks to the sound teaching that is offered on a weekly basis, both on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's such a blessing to hear the word taught and walk through scripture in such a way that is relevant to our lives today. I particularly love how Pastor Chris is so good in teaching the Old Testament and tying it to Christ and the New Testament. The church body is so welcoming and friendly. Mm-hmm. Never have we felt so welcome. This is our home, and we are beyond blessed to be part of this church, and we look forward to helping others feel the way that we do and continuing to serve as we can. Thank you, Pastor Chris, Miss Andrea, and church for all that you do.
Thank you, Pastor. By the way, I texted his father-in-law, Bill, and said, hey, Bill, would you be available on Sunday to give a testimony? And Bill said, Chris, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be out of the country. And so, and he really is, to be honest with you. Bill's a great guy. But thank you very much, Seth. Thank you, guys, children, teenagers. And thank you, parents. You know what? I mean, that's such a blessing to me to see parents dedicate their children back to the Lord and commit to teaching them the Word of God and the ways of God as they grow. I love it, and I'm so proud and so excited. All right, Matt, you lead us in worship, please, sir, if you will.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. so amazing, yeah. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. For sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. All our hope is in you, all our hope. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Messiah, Lord of all.
It doesn't always work out this way, but I always try to get our songs to follow a certain progression. And so, you know, with it being our 14-year anniversary, we started with Victory in Jesus, because whatever else has happened in these last 14 years, I think we can all say we've experienced victory in Jesus in our personal lives and as a church family. So I wanted to start with that truth and let everything be a response out of that. And then we have Jesus Messiah that tells us different names of Jesus. It gives us the gospel, what he's done for us. So now we're going to sing a song. I know this is, Chris asked me to look for some that are some favorites, and we've been doing this one recently. It's called Gratitude. So I have to get loud in this song. I want you guys to get loud too. This is a song that comes in response of the truths that we've already sang about this morning. So y'all join me.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. Praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else before a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
louder, so y'all be ready, because if it comes on, okay? All right. Oh, it is on now? Okay, cool. I want to also thank Glenn Mildren for coming up here and sharing a building update with you guys. Glenn and I were talking on the phone about how you can just see the fingerprints of God every step of the way. And I wish I had time to tell you the GBF story today, but I don't. I'm just going to tell you the very beginning, since we're celebrating the very beginning, Valentine's Day 2010. But there's amazing, just actual. Now, actually, I am doing this, though. I'm putting together a 30-day devotional for you guys. And you won't get it for another month, month and a half maybe. But I'm putting together a 30-day devotional, and in the front of the devotional will be the GBF story from day one to where we're at right now. And so it's really exciting. You'll be able to see how many things God has been doing in this church the last 14 years. It's really neat. Okay, today we're going to talk about a church built on faith. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 there in your notes, and without faith, circle those two words, without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Man, we need to hear that. Amen. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe. Circle those two words. He who comes to God must believe that he is, meaning he is who he says he is in his word, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, one of our unspoken goals from day one at GBF has always been, let your faith be bigger than your faith. Say it that way every time, but that is the one of the main things that we've tried to live out in this church from day one, is that we, our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be bigger than any fears we might have. And so Grace Bible Fellowship got started 14 years ago on Valentine's Day in 2010. I was at that time pastoring another church, but I began to sense the Lord stirring me to start a non-denominational church. And that was weird to me because I grew up Southern Baptist and got saved in a Southern Baptist church at 18. And there's going to be millions of people in heaven because of Baptists. So my point is, there's nothing wrong with that denomination. I was just feeling led to start a non-denominational church where everybody could feel comfortable to hear the word of God. Amen. And so this is what I would pray. Lord, I really want to trust you, and I really want to obey you, but if that's what you want me to do, then you're going to have to make it happen, because I don't have the courage to go for it. I had a wife, and just going out, and I knew the stats, right? 80% of all new church fail. And I'd seen friends try to start churches and fail. And so I just got honest with God and said, God, I want to obey you, and I want to do what you're telling me to do, but you're going to have to make it happen. And he did. One day in Walmart. I know. One day I was in Walmart hanging out in sporting goods like I always do while she's buying groceries. And I'm walking along, and the Lord clearly spoke to me in my heart. Probably like never before. And said to me, Chris, I want you to resign your position at your church because I have something else for you. This Sunday I want you to get up. I want you to tell everybody in your church how much you love them, and what a great ride it's been for the last 8 years, but that I've shown you I have another assignment for you. To which I replied, okay, Lord, well, Andrea's in groceries. He probably wouldn't have figured that out if I hadn't have told him that, right? Andrea's over there in groceries. Is there any way you could tell her what you just told me? So I left sporting goods. I made my way to groceries, and I stopped my wife. I can still see it like it was yesterday. I stopped her right in the middle of this grocery aisle to tell her the good news that the Lord had just told me to resign my position this coming Sunday. And he didn't mention what he was calling me to do next. And I'll never forget this, as long as I live. When I told her what I believe the Lord had revealed to me and was leading me to do, she looked at me right there in the grocery aisle and said, "Chris, I've always trusted your walk with God. If that's what we need to do, then let's do it." And whoa. Thank God for a wife that loves the Lord. Thank God for a wife that follows Jesus Christ. And so that Sunday, we took this gigantic leap of faith, and literally the church I was pastoring, they even owned the house we lived in. We took this gigantic leap of faith, followed God, not knowing where it would lead or even where we would live. But like every spiritual advancement of God's kingdom, number one in your notes, write this in your notes this morning. Like every spiritual advancement of God's kingdom, it all begins and ends with a word from the Lord. Amen. Here's a perfect example. Look in your notes at Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus." In other words, the Lord spoke to the heart of King Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent out a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and also put it in writing saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all these kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me, he has told me, to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah." And by the way, let me just say this to you. Whenever you have a word from God, you need to understand this up front. There will always be people who will rise up to critique and criticize what God has told you to do. And the reason for that is because the ways of God are so different than the ways of man. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:9, the Lord says, "For as high as the heavens are from the earth," last time I checked, if I remember right, the sun was 53 million miles away from planet Earth. "As far as the heavens are from the earth," you need to understand, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And all through Scripture, God continually called people to accomplish things that were way beyond what they could ever accomplish on their own, that were way beyond anything they could ever handle without his intervention. Dr. Tony Evans says in his commentary, "God really rarely starts working it out until he sees you to ask what he's asked you to do first." Put another way, God will begin moving in your life and on your behalf when you decide to walk with him by faith and no longer by fear. Dr. Evans goes on to say, "As a pastor, I'm regularly asked by men in difficult situations how God is going to show up and transform their challenges. My answer is always the same: I don't know. But I do know this, when God tells you to cross the Jordan, you better start walking and let him work it out." Point number two in your notes this morning. Number one, every spiritual advancement of God's kingdom begins and ends with a word from the Lord. Number two, what God's word sets in motion never lacks his watchful eye and his provision to see it through. After Andrea and I resigned, we had nowhere to live. We had basically no income. She just started a new job. We had basically no income because my income probably provided 90% of what we brought in at that point in time, and we had no insurance for a family with three children. But God sent wave after wave of his people to come alongside us. He provided us a place to live on the Fuller Farm. When I was about to move us into a hunting shack that I used on a buddy's ranch. This dude had a little hunting shack out there, and the boys, he let us keep our four-wheelers out there, and we rode, and we shot wild hogs for this guy and coyotes and all kinds of stuff, and we just had a blast out on this guy's ranch. But the little house thing out there had a little bit to be desired. And so Jake and Ryan and myself were real excited to move out on this ranch. But Andrea and Becky were not happy at all about moving into this hunting shack. And Andrea and I had been out there and done everything we could to clean it up, and they still weren't happy. But the day we're moving, we had stepped into the Jordan. We said, you know what? We know this is what God's calling us to do. Let's move forward. The day we're moving, a guy named James Fuller shows up and catches me at the end of the driveway. And he says, Chris, you know, I live on a ranch out here on 220, and I've got a home out there that Ronnie Partain lived in, and some of you know him. I knew him. I'd been in his home before. And James said, you know, if you guys need a place to stay, I'd be more than willing to rent it to you very, very cheap. And I said, let's go look at it. Can you go right now? Let's go look at it right now, because I'm thinking this is getting me out of hot water big time, right? And so we moved into that house. We spent 5 years there, and it was an amazing place to raise our children. James Fuller took his tractor and cutted trails. He had wooded, real wooded land, which is not always real common around here. But he took his tractor and he carved trails all back in the woods for Becky and the boys to ride their go-kart, to ride. Even had two little midget four-wheelers. He let them go into his barn, get those out, and ride those all over his land. Andrea and I would take walks out there. And then he had this big tank back in there that had an island in the middle. And on that island, he went and he cleaned it all off. And he had made a bridge out of telephone poles that you could walk across. And so we started having, I don't know what you call it, children's Bible study on Wednesday night and youth Bible study on Wednesday night at our house. And we would walk to what we called Memory Island, and all these teenagers and these children memorize verses when they got out there on the island. And I still remember having to hold hands, walking them across these telephone poles out to that island to make sure nobody fell down in the tank. And it was just the most amazing time, and how we saw God grow these children and grow these teenagers during that time, because God sent this man that was so gracious to our family. And God sent this man that was so gracious to this brand new starting church. And it was just an amazing time out there on James Fuller's farm. And God provided a brand new full-time job for Andrea through a friend of mine, and she's still with him today. And God provided for our kids. You can imagine, we were like, oh, wow, you know, how are our kids going to be able to do this and do that, and how are we going to be able to afford this and afford that? And God provided for our kids in every way imaginable. In fact, they did more and experienced more than they ever had before. And Andrea and I watched in awe as the Lord provided for our family in every way imaginable while we continued to seek him and trust him in the future, for the future. And again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe. He must believe that he is who he says he is, and according to his word, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, I want to tell you something today. Andrea and I love going to Colorado. We love going to New Mexico, and we love going to Alaska. We've been to all those places many, many times. But by far, the greatest adventures that we've ever had in our entire lives have been where we stepped out in faith and followed God right where we're at, right where we were living at that point in time. It wasn't in Colorado. It wasn't even in Alaska. As much as I love wildlife and love seeing bears and wolves and all that kinds of stuff, it was right where we, whether it was a little tiny 900 square foot apartment or in a house that somebody else owned, it was when we stepped out and followed God. And the Bible says in Psalm 37:5, look in your notes, commit everything you do to the Lord. Commit everything you do. Circle those four words, or those three words, everything you do. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. So here's my question for you today. Is there anything going on in your life you could use help with? Is there anything in your life that you would like the Lord to come alongside you and help you with? If so, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. So if you want God to begin working in your life, you must step out in faith. Secondly, if you want God to begin working in your life, you must continually seek Him, because the Bible says He is a rewarder of those who continually seek Him. And if you want God to work in your life, then you must be willing to wait. And that may be one of the hardest things we hear this morning. Amen. You must be willing to wait. Look at what Psalm 37:34 says. Do not be impatient. In other words, wait for the Lord to act. Keep traveling steady along the path that He's shown you, and in due season, He will honor you with every blessing. And that's what we did. That's what Andrea and I did. In fact, I sat at the feet of Jesus every day. So did she. Every morning for 4 months seeking His direction. People calling me contacting people, trying to see where God might be leading us, because we weren't sure what He was wanting us to do. And I remember one thing really kind of enticed me. The Baptist General Convention of Texas called me and said, Chris, we want to start a church north of Waco, and if you're willing to pastor that church, we'll come and hold you. And I remember thinking to myself, boy, that'd take care of a lot of issues and a lot of stuff up front. And I called them, you guys, more than you'll, because some of my greatest friends were in the Baptist General Convention of Texas. I love you guys more than you'll ever know. I can't thank you enough. But that's not what God's calling us to do. And so number three in your notes this morning, our obedience to seek God prayerfully and patiently, meaning we are willing to wait for Him to act. Our obedience to seek God prayerfully and patiently will result in blessings that we could never even imagine. And one of the things we've just studied in our journey groups, if you're in a journey group, you know this, is that God's intervention in our lives is often based on our intimacy with Him. Don't miss that. God wants to have an intimate love relationship with you. He doesn't want to just be somebody that you acknowledge on Sundays and maybe on Wednesday nights. He wants to have an intimate love relationship with you. In fact, Dr. Evans points out that God, listen to this, God created Adam and Eve to walk with Him, interact with Him, and communicate with Him. You see that in the Bible. He created Adam and Eve, the first two people on planet Earth, to walk with Him, interact with Him, living in a perfect garden, meaning they didn't need anything at that point in their lives, right? They had everything they needed in that garden. Then why did God create them to walk with Him, interact with Him, and communicate with Him? Because God desired relational intimacy with them. He desired to have an intimate love relationship with Adam and Eve. In fact, Jesus put it this way. Matthew chapter 22 in your notes, He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is now. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you ever wonder about the purpose for your life? People spend massive amounts of time and money, especially in our culture today. People spend massive amounts of time and money traveling all over the world trying to find themselves. And they've been told, if you go on enough trips, if you see enough things, if you take enough hikes, if you ride enough bikes, and you had enough experiences, then you'll finally realize who you are. You'll finally begin to understand the purpose for your life. Can I just save you a lot of time and money? Is that okay? Jesus said the number one purpose for your life, the greatest thing you can ever do, the biggest thing you can ever accomplish in this life is to learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So if you want to take a trip somewhere, by all means, go. Take a trip. If you want to go on a hike somewhere, go. If you want to ride a bike somewhere, by all means, go ride your bike. If you want to experience life, by all means, go for it. But I submit to you today, if you go on that trip, if you take that hike, ride that bike, or have that experience while, listen to me closely, don't let this fly over your head. If you go on that trip, if you take that hike, ride that bike, or have that experience while walking with God, while communicating with God, and while interacting with God, He will honor that trip, that hike, and that experience with every blessing that comes with loving Him first and foremost in your life and committing all you do to Him. And in much the same way, Andrea and I decided to seek the Lord our God prayerfully and patiently. And after 4 months of not knowing what was coming and what God had for us, 4 months of abiding in Christ, and the word to abide means to stay intimately connected to. And Jesus talks all about abiding in Christ in John chapter 15. And after 4 months of abiding in Christ through His word, prayer, and patience, 3 families that we knew, loved, and trusted came to us and asked us to help them start a non-denominational church in Hyco. And after praying about it for several more weeks, Andrea and I finally knew. After all the seeking and after all the waiting, we finally knew what God was leading us to do. And against all odds, we went for it with these 3 families. And we set our minds on letting our faith always be bigger than our fears. And we stepped out and started Grace Bible Fellowship. And that is the legacy of Grace Bible Fellowship. From day one, we were always going to let our faith be bigger than our fears. How do you know your faith's bigger than your fears? You quit complaining. You quit griping. You quit whining. You quit finding fault with other people. And you just start loving them. And you start Jesus Christ. And you will begin to work in maybe like never before. And as we started Grace Bible Fellowship, when people, you can see all of our pictures over there. In fact, Brad Stegall looks so young, he looks like Colton, his son, Colton, in that picture. But when people began to witness God doing what only He could do, people don't need to see anything else you and I can do. Really? We think we're such a big deal, and we're really not. People need to see what God can do. Because as people see what God does, God then draws people to Himself. Amen? He begins to draw people to Himself so that He can then begin to advance His kingdom. And God grew His church. And we made sure that He received all the glory. Amen? And listen to me closely. I'm going to close with this. When the glory is where the glory is supposed to be, you and I can't handle glory. We want to hog it all. I'm number one, and I ain't sharing first place with any of y'all. I'm the best. I'm the greatest, right? I got the blue ribbon. I got the gold medal. Me and me alone. We can't handle glory. But when the glory is where the glory is supposed to be, in the rightful hands of its owner, then man becomes the recipient of God's protection, his provision, which only comes from the blessing of God's presence in your life. And for 14 straight years, we've enjoyed the blessings of God more than we could have ever imagined at Grace Bible Fellowship. Will you join me in prayer?